Friday, Sam Rejofsky, Sam Nation here on Talk Radio 790 KABC, 1-800-222-5222. That's 1-800-222-KABC. Sam at samnation.com is the email. And we are, as always, live from the Sweet James Studios in an undisclosed location on the right side of the orange curtain. So you know the news now. You've heard earlier today, Reince Priebus. Good thing I don't have to worry about it now. He's out. Affectionately known by some as Prince Priebus, was booted from his position as White House Chief of Staff and replaced with General John Kelly, previously of Homeland Security. Now, I will tell you, I think the beginning of the end for this happened with the healthcare vote yesterday. So allow me for just one second here to address that because it's a critical piece of the puzzle. The healthcare bill yesterday, the so-called skinny repeal of Obamacare, which was no pork added, nothing, just a flat-out repeal of the Obamacare bill, went down in flames in the Senate. Now, the vote came. You've heard it was close. I'll tell you how close it was because it really came within a whisker on Hillary Clinton's chin. It was that close. It was 48 Democrats and 3 Republicans that voted against. And sources said that after the vote, John McCain was on the House, was on the Senate floor, talking, laughing with some Democratic senators and was overheard saying, "We'll see how Donald gets his Make America Great Again done," or something along those lines. McCain scuttled it because I'll explain the math. It's you need 51 votes. And you see 48 plus 3, okay, you get it, that's your 51 against. But if McCain or one other Republican senator had voted for the repeal, then Vice President Pence could have come in and cast a tie-breaking vote. So it really did come down to one guy. And so McCain flew all this way till he left his cancer treatment in Arizona, flew all this way to stick a shiv in the president's back. If you think that McCain is a despicable human being, today or last night was the evidence of it. But how does this matter to Priebus? Because that's the real story now. You see, if we go back to the campaign, we go back to we'll call it summer 2015, fall 2015, spring of 2016. Reince Priebus was no friend of Donald Trump. Reince Priebus, as head of the Republican Party, chairman of the GOP, I mean, he was running the primary that was in at least on paper fair. Okay, he was impartial. Now, this is radio, and you can't see the smirk on my face. You can't see the air quotes in the air. It was anything but impartial. Priebus was an anti-Trumper. I mean, Priebus represents the Republican Party DC establishment. He is a country club Republican. He represents that faction of the party. To him, the disruptors, people like Trump, and even I would even say to that Ted Cruz and others, Rand Paul, they're noise. And to the extent that they don't get any traction, if you think of Ron Paul, for example, father of Rand Paul, I mean, they're just noise. It's a crazy guy that shows up and doesn't get any traction. And this is exactly the way that Priebus treated Trump during the campaign. Trump was a silly distraction to the serious business of the Republican Party doing serious things. And if you look at it historically, it was the serious things involve losing, because that's where any of the so-called, I don't know, insider candidates, establishment party candidates, that is exactly what they would have done to Hillary Clinton. They would have lost. But to Priebus's surprise, to the surprise of the establishment GOP, as the campaign progressed, and we know this now, as it progressed, Trump became a serious candidate. And so Priebus, sort of holding his nose, had to gradually, you know, come about and embrace him. If you doubt what I say, if you think that this is somehow revisionist of me, I will remind you that it was Priebus that trotted out that ridiculous promise to not run as a third party. That, remember the contract? He's the one who brought that nonsense out. And this is just one example that comes to my mind quickly, but it was such a blatant effort to checkmate Donald Trump. That contract wasn't, you know, that contract wasn't there to put in a box any of the other candidates. There was a palpable fear that Trump would run as a third party candidate. They already began to be, you know, were understanding that Trump was a formidable campaigner and worried that if unsuccessful, he would run against him and scuttle the future Republican candidate. And that was that little stunt there was the brainchild of Priebus. And by the way, that's, I'm just taking him at his word there that was the stated objective, because in my view, the real objective of it was to get Trump up there saying, no, I'm not going to do it, which is what he did, kind of, and to ridicule him then to point out that he's not a real Republican in an effort to sink his campaign. You got to understand these DC types. They are not ever operating in an above board, palms up fashion. So this is just one little vignette, if you will, of some background on Trump and Priebus. Now, if you were shocked that Priebus ended up being the first person to get a hug from Trump on stage after Trump's election night victory, don't be. Trump made a very calculated gamble. And I think in hindsight, all of these many conservatives out there right now who are just foaming at the mouth, see the traitor, Priebus the traitor, he's just terrible. This was the worst mistake Trump ever did, was let that snake in the grass into the White House. Well, you know what? It maybe wasn't that big of a mistake. Because Trump understood during the transition, he understood right away that what he was going to need, he was going to need the Republican Party establishment to get stuff done. Trump understood that he needed to have Congress. He understood that he needed to have Paul Ryan. And he understood that to some extent, he had to bury the hatchet. And this is where I think a lot of the observation of Trump and all the political punditry gets lost, because they're so stuck. They're married to the caricature of Trump, this, you know, fire-breathing nut job, that they don't understand that he's making some very calculating moves. And the calculating move was to actually put aside his enormous, and I know this, I've heard it repeatedly from people close to the situation, that Trump hated Priebus, loathed, you know, what he had done to him early on in the campaign, but was being a magnanimous victor who understood that Priebus could offer him something. And what Priebus, the deal was, there was absolutely a deal. And the deal was that Priebus would deliver the establishment to Trump, that Priebus would get things done in Congress, that he was the guy who could work with Paul Ryan, and he was the guy who could work with Mitch McConnell, and he was the guy who could get these dinosaur Republicans, country club Republicans, to go along with the Make America Great platform. And that last night did not happen. It failed spectacularly. And in my view, that is a bigger issue here than Scaramucci or any other nonsense stuff that I've been listening to on CNN all afternoon. That is et cetera white noise. When in relation to Trump watching the Obamacare repeal go down in flames from a group of Kokomo Jokomo senators, these Republicans have been running on a platform of repealing Obamacare for years now. We've documented it here and talked about it ad nauseum. So he's looking at this and he's going, look, I have a chief of staff who's just not being effective. And so he made a change. And this is good. And so Priebus is out. And instead of putting fire breather Mucci in there, he put General John Kelly in. And the question you have to ask yourself, if you're wondering, you know, this is kind of a weird deal. Oh, we got a general in there. And that is, by the way, to my knowledge, unprecedented. I think there have been a number of chief of staffs who've been certainly in the military. Don Reagan was a lieutenant colonel. Is that correct? Yeah, a lieutenant colonel. And then Panetta was a lieutenant. I mean, you have people who have served, but never a general. But Trump has a deep respect of the military. He likes the way the military operates. You have a command, you execute it. The mission is defined, and you put your personal BS agenda out of the way. It's about getting the job done. Now, I got to ask this question here, and this is key, because remember, part of what scuttled Priebus is whose team was he really on? Because at the end of the day, he is programmed to be an establishment Republican, and he is not somebody who wants to get on board with disrupting the very establishment that gave him life. But I'm looking at a guy like Kelly, and I see somebody who doesn't have a faction. He doesn't have, you know, a clan within a tribe within the GOP. I mean, I think he believes in the Constitution. I mean, God forbid. This guy's a God and country kind of guy. Not a, oh, I'm a Mitch McConnell man, or I'm a so-and-so guy. I think in many respects, Kelly represents the best of the military, which is a sort of above politics, and he doesn't owe anybody anything. He's not looking to trade this, turn this appointment, turn his tenure into some sort of deal of further advancement of his career. And that could end up serving the president very, very well. Yeah, I will add this sort of big picture thought to what I'm seeing here. There is a lot of nonsense that is being said about this situation, and we talked about this last night. I said that you know, if we're looking at Sessions and you know and all the death pool out there, people betting on who's going to drop dead next in the Trump administration, who's going to get the boot. And I said, you got it all wrong. Everyone's focusing on Sessions. Priebus is the one that's going to be gone like lickety-split. I said it loud and clear last night, and I will play you a clip, a great example of a much sought-after commentator who is blabbing about total nonsense. He has no idea of what is going on in the Trump White House. And so here's the thing. When it comes to understanding what is going on, if you want to listen to the people that absolutely are 100% so blinded by their hatred of Trump that they aren't willing to understand the method to the madness, then everything that Trump is doing is going to be unpredictable, and you are only going to be at the, we'll call it at the reactive end, at the receiving end of things that, of news. But if you are tuned in and you're listening to this program, for example, and there's maybe a couple others, but really few and far between, where I am ahead of it. And I'm ahead of it because I'm willing to give the president a chance. I'm willing to look for patterns of, dare I say, intelligent thought. And I weigh it against my own experience, you know, and I'm certainly no Trump and I'm no president, but I've managed people and I lead an organization of a mid-sized company. And I have some sense of what needs to happen. And sometimes you just got to get rid of people. And my gut usually is pretty right on this politically. And this is where I know what's happening. And I think that this cleanup is really important. He extended an olive branch. Trump extended an olive branch to the establishment and they took it and they stomped on it. And so he said, that's it. And he threw out the olive branch. Out went Reince Priebus. And I think you're going to see some big changes. All right. I'll play that clip of nonsense when we come back. You're going to laugh at this. Do you know who it is? Do you know who it is? Okay. All right. You're gonna like this. Sam Rogowski, back right after this.
Talk radio. 790 KABC.
I want to illustrate just how wrong some people are. People that are being cited in the news frequently to give opinion, to give their analysis of what is happening out there politically with Trump. And they're wrong. Now, the example here is William Kristol, Bill Kristol. Now, if you don't know who he is, he probably may be one of the most famous living neocons in America. I wouldn't quite call him a founder. I think that goes to probably William F. Buckley Jr., but he is a disciple of Buckley's, founder of the Weekly Standard, and he is a gray-haired guy within the establishment Republican Party. And he also is, I would say, is it fair to call him a standard bearer? A standard bearer, of the anti-Trumpists. I still remember, I remember seeing him at the convention, and he was wandering into an Irish pub. And this guy, he looked like a broken, sad little troll. I mean, he had a little like gaggle of people following him around. Where, by the way, in years past, this is a guy who's used to courting, you know, a crowd. I mean, this is the guy that is getting invited up on stage with the candidates, with the president elect, with the president. I mean, this is a guy who's no stranger to going into the White House, and he's a kingmaker. He's somebody who plays a huge role in the primaries, which is what he expected to be this round. And so yesterday I was talking about Sessions, Jeff Sessions, and his likelihood of survival. Also about the mooch, Anthony Scaramucci, and his criticisms of Reince Priebus. And how I think Reince is the one whose days are numbered, not necessarily Sessions, and that Trump is pleased with Mooch's performance. Anyway, to my astonishment, today I listened to this clip. This was on, CNN Out Front with Aaron Burnett. Bill Kristol is betting against Scaramucci and thinks his whole thing's going to turn out completely differently and that Priebus will stay. Have a listen.
Scaramucci being a mini-me that's now exceeding the maxi-me, exceeding Trump, in terms of press coverage and being even bolder than anything Trump has said, I suppose. You'd have to give Scaramucci credit for being more vulgar than Donald Trump. I don't know that Trump likes that so much, but I think it's also more than just a press and media thing. Will Scaramucci get an FBI security clearance? You know, they do consider people's emotional stability. If this guy has dinner with the president of the United States and says what he said to Ryan last night and boasts about sicking the FBI and the Justice Department on other people at the White House, is he really the kind of person you want having access? I'm serious about this. So I think people are underestimating how bad this is for Scaramucci, and I think they're also underestimating how much Trump will dislike it. And I myself wouldn't be surprised to see him back at the Ex-Im Bank in a couple of weeks.
Yeah, Scaramucci's going to be out. And by implication, of course, Priebus will stay. Total bunk. And, you know, you've got to understand why it's nonsense. Because the source saying it, in spite of his very impressive resume, is blinded by his hatred of Trump. So whether you like Trump or not, okay, this is the key. Whether you like him or not, don't you want to understand him? I think I've probably at least on 10 different occasions offered my jokingly offered my services to the DNC here on the program, because I tell them, I say, you've got to understand the movement. You've got to understand what Trump is doing. You've got to understand what his next moves are going to be. And you're not doing it because you still view him, and by default, honestly, you know, you also, you know, his voters, you view them as a caricature that you yourselves have created. And then there's never going to be a likelihood that you'll arrive at some sort of lucid, intelligent deduction or conclusion about what is going on in Washington. So for the next 3.5 years, you've got Trump. He's here. Like it or not, he's not going to get impeached. That's a load of bunk. So you're stuck with the guy. And why not understand him? And that's, hell, that's what this program's about. I'll help you do it. Among other things, we also talk about other stuff. But anyway, we got John Wolf up next with KABC News. I'll be back right after this.
Talk radio, 790 KABC.
Greetings and welcome back. Sam Rejofsky back behind the Sam Nation microphone here on Talk Radio 790 KBC. 1-800-222-5222. Sam@samnation.com is the email. And we are here making radio great again, allowing you a little voice of reason. Now, I know it's Friday. Hope you're doing something fun. You headed off to the weekend. Perhaps finally getting off of work. I'm more of a TGIM guy. I like my Mondays. I'm always excited to get back to work behind my desk. I've got clear focus on what I want to do for the week. And I've got 5 days to do it. You know, that's always a good thing. So when I start, like Thursday night, I start getting a little bit panicky because I've got all this stuff I want to do. I still need to get done. And I need more time. Plus, on Friday, the worst part about my Fridays is I don't get to be with you guys for 2 days. So that's, you know, I don't cope well with that. I have a certain degree of separation anxiety. Now, speaking of anxiety, plenty of it in Washington, D.C. today. Thank goodness. When the D.C. establishment has heartburn, I rejoice. Okay? If I had to point to one reason why I liked Donald Trump in this election and why I voted for him, it was to serve as a disruptor of business as usual in D.C. So I'm okay with the fact that everybody's flipping out right now. Who's not okay with it is, of course, the mainstream media and establishment politicians from both parties. I mentioned earlier, McCain, after scuttling the vote to repeal Obamacare, he is the one. If you want a villain in this, it's McCain. Had he voted for the repeal, we would have had a repeal. So McCain is on the floor of the Senate and he is guffawing it up with some Democratic senators. And he was overheard saying, we'll see how Donald gets his Make America Great Again agenda done now, you know. You know, he's not so much a maverick as he is a total a-hole. He's not worried about re-election. That's what this is all about. Settling scores at the expense of the American people. Now, speaking of settling scores, there's a reporter that I don't know. Scaramucci thought that the conversation was off the record. It apparently wasn't. Yeah, he hasn't made a big think about it. But apparently, yesterday, there was an article that came out in The New Yorker where Scaramucci was just kind of lit into Reince Priebus. This is before Reince was canned. And there is this scuttlebutt going on right now. There is a dispute as to how Reince got fired because Reince's allies are claiming, and the media was reporting this a little bit this afternoon, that Priebus, in fact, had secretly submitted his resignation last night. So this, of course, got an eyebrow raised here on my face. Because I'm looking at it. You really think something that big wouldn't have leaked out of this White House? So what a lot of people are saying is it proves that Reince is the leaker. And I don't think there's one leaker in the White House. I think there's there are 20 leakers plus. I think that ship has more holes in it than, you know, a sieve. But I will tell you that I think it shows that these allies of Priebus or Priebus himself are just full of crap. Because I think it would have gotten out. Alternatively, it means that the leaking is all done by Priebus and his allies. But I still think they would have gotten ahead of it. I think that if it were true, if that had really happened, that Priebus and or his people would have wanted that story to get out so he could be in charge of the situation and would not have waited to have been sacked by Trump and had that be the lead news story. That's my personal opinion. So make of it what you will. Back right after this.
Talk radio. 790 KABC.
When Reince Priebus was fired today, there's a White House reporter there that had said that he had been seen leaving the White House in his personal vehicle, as if that was some sort of smoking gun. So he gets fired. He's in the car. He's leaving the White House. I think what we don't realize when we're out on the road is how many people are driving distressed. I mean, if you get fired and you're driving home, you're probably pretty distressed. You're probably not focusing on the road. You're probably not driving at your best. And I have no idea what kind of a driver Reince Priebus is to begin with. He might be a bad driver, for starters. So when you're out on the road, people are doing crazy stuff out there. They're distracted. They've got life on their mind, and they're going to do bad things. And hopefully those bad things don't involve getting you hurt. But if you do get hurt out there, I don't care if it's Reince Priebus or Debbie Wasserman Schultz. Sweet James Bergener will protect you. He will take care of you, and he'll take the fight right to their insurance company, make sure you get taken care of. He is the lawyer that we trust here on this program to take care of you and your personal injury case. Make sure you've got the right person in your corner. It's crucial in these matters. And give him a call. James is an easy guy to talk to. You've heard him here on the program. He'll take care of you. So give him a call and explain to him what's going on and let him take over. 1-800-881-2021. 1-800-881-2021. Or visit his website, sweetjames.com. All right. Speaking of weird things on people's minds, I've been waiting all week. I have wanted to do this story. Now, you understand I am operating here sort of at a disadvantage. Washington is producing politicians, politics right now, current events, everything. There is so much going on, and all I have is 1 hour. I mean, color me crazy. So picking and choosing what I do, I've got a stack this high, and I try to get to it. And I apologize. You know, I really do. I am sorry. I don't always get to it. So there was this piece about Lana Del Rey. Now, why am I talking about Lana Del Rey? I actually kind of like her music a little bit. I know my producer is going to he's cringing over there. I do. Lana Del Rey, if you haven't heard her, she's got a very sultry voice. But a lot of very emotional women listen to her, and then men like me. So make of that what you will. Lana Del Rey confirmed to a reporter that she attempted to place a hex on President Donald Trump. Now, if you're not exactly familiar with terminology of witchcraft, a hex is a spell. Okay, if you've seen Harry Potter or read the books, you know what I'm talking about. So some sort of abracadabra type deal. Now, I was so fascinated by this. First of all, what kind of a bat nuts crazy person does that? Look, Hollywood people and singers, they do crazy things, right? They don't live in the world that you and I live in. We get out of bed and put 2 feet down on the ground and have a job to go to. These people are nuts. And obviously, if she's got way too much free time on her hands just doing this spell nonsense. But here I wanted to know what the hex spell would sound like. Because what do you do when you cast a spell like this? Because this Lana Del Rey is a huge anti-Trumper, as most people in Hollywood are. And she's got a Twitter following where she's always making comments about Trump. And then she called on her followers to gather some mysterious ingredients to help her in accomplishing the hex. So this is, by the way, it's a little more than just, getting up there and chanting some stuff. I mean, there was some preparation went into this. So I wanted to know what this sort of hex would be. So we have a recording of it. It's so good. I'll play it for you, but at your own risk. Okay, if you're actually worried that this hex might do something to you, don't come back next segment. Okay, because we're going to play a witch's hex here in just a couple of minutes. Stay tuned.
Talk radio. 790 KABC.
So, Lana Del Rey, the sultry singer who we've decided is for moody women and for me, Sam Rejofsky, she apparently was, she says she was channeling her inner Yoko. John Lennon's widow. Yeah, that's already, you've lost me right there when you tell me you're going to be channeling your inner Yoko. Lana Del Rey had a hex that she put on Donald Trump. She's admitted to this. And, no one's called in for a 5150 on her. Can you imagine if for every one of these statements, the Hollywood PD would have to come out and do a welfare check? It's inconceivable. So anyway, I told you I was gonna play for you one of these hexes that people, this is a thing, people are putting witches spells on Donald Trump. This is a group of witches gathered in an undisclosed location, which is not the Sweet James Studios, somewhere in Maryland. They're standing around a crackling fire. And they've got a witch in a hood leading the chant. Listen to this.
Divide Donald J. Trump.
So that his malignant works.
So that his malignant works.
May fail utterly.
May fail utterly.
That he may do no harm.
That he may do no harm.
To any human soul.
To any human soul.
Nor any tree.
Nor any tree.
Animal.
Okay,
animal.
Stop it. I can't even listen to this. By the way, you pulled these nutters there, and there's probably about 30 people there at this fire, chant thing. If you were to pull them, I wonder how many of them would demand that religion be removed from schools. Exactly. These are the people that are fighting Christianity, fighting any you know, gosh forbid that there be a tiny little cross somewhere in some tiny little town's coat of arms or city seal. But here they are chanting about how they don't want any harm to come to rocks. This may be, by the way, this may be Elizabeth Warren's whole campaign staff right there. It might have been like some sort of a retreat. I wouldn't be surprised if Senator Warren was muttering some spells against the Donald. Now, okay, I get this. These are fringe kooks. I'm letting you know that the left is so they've lost their minds when it comes to Trump. To the extent where something that would be this insane and out there is sort of getting a passing glance by the media. They're kind of looking at it, going, "Yeah, Lana Del Rey, she did a little hex spell on the president. Makes sense to me." So as I'm letting you know, you know why you're here. We get into the issues. We take it beyond just the headline. We get in deep. But if you want to understand what's happening in Washington, you got to tune in because you're not getting this elsewhere. And and look at all the smart pundits. These are all people making a killing off of talking and writing about the day's news. And they have no idea what is going on. None. All right. Is that it? Are we done? Have a great weekend. See you Monday.